Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 4. Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages, or perform painful penances, to commend our souls to the God of heaven, or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true Mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin. And if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way. or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of His power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in His ability to defend and vindicate His cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us: wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah 1:16-17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel 33:15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, "Ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." 2 Corinthians 7:11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3:12-13. "Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden?" These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies, and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the Divine Spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's Word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary. And as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. End of chapter 4.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as a fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They longed for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good, and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. This is Sister Carla, and we will start with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much, Lord, for blessing us, Lord. We thank you for help and strength, Lord. There's so much suffering going on, oh Father. We don't know how good it is to have our health and strength. And because of Jesus, we have our being, oh Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. And we thank you, Father, for keeping us. Fallen, Lord. Please present us faultless before your coming, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to love you with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind. And in loving you, we have love for others. We have patience, oh Father. Give us patience, wisdom, and understanding. I pray that you will bless us, oh Lord, as we come together to give you glory and praise and honor. Pray that your Holy Spirit will be in the midst of us as we share, oh Father, as we testify of your goodness. And as we come to learn, to sit at your feet and to learn, oh, Father, things that we fail to learn or to understand, things that we have learned and to make it more fortified in our mind. Please bless us again. Bless the speaker and each and every one that's joined us. And we thank you for this holy Sabbath day of rest. We thank you for the preparation day, but the Sabbath day is minutes away, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry. And please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, or scripture reading so that everyone can get a chance. We're allotting about 2 or 3 minutes for testimony, brothers and sisters. So please press 1 so that you are able to share before we do our prayer. Amen. And I'd like to share a reading. It's a plain, suitable, I'm sorry, that's the title, plain Sabbath, suitable reading and conversation, and that's regarding the Sabbath day, what should be taking place. The Sabbath Oh, make it the sweetest, the most blessed day of the week. Parents can and should give attention to their children, reading to them the most attractive portion of Bible history, educating them to reverence the Sabbath day, keeping it accordance to the commandment. This cannot be done if the parents feel no burden to interest their children, but they can make the Sabbath a delight. If they will take the proper course, the children can be interested in good reading or in conversation about the salvation of their soul. But they will have to be educated and trained. The natural heart does not love to think of God or heaven or heavenly things. These must be a continually pressing back of the current of worldliness and inclination to evil and a letting in of heavenly light. And this is also, this is in Child Guidance and also Review and Herald, April 14, 1885. And great Child Guidance, it's 532.5. Amen, amen. So there's a preparation that needs to be done by parents and children. And we know the Lord has left us instruction how to keep the Sabbath day holy, the preparation that needs to be made in our home, in our hearts. We know the Lord is soon to come, and we want to be ready. And by keeping the Sabbath, preparing for the Sabbath, it makes us ready for his coming. So let us be faithful. Let us found as obedient children unto the Lord, brothers and sisters. Again, press 1 on your telephone keypad if you would like to share. That will indicate to me that you would like to share. I pray that you can hear me. I'm not sure how my audio is, but I pray that all can hear me. Let me see if Sister Leola. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay, amen. Amen. Okay, I'll close your line and yes. And please press 1, brother. Oh, I'm sorry. Say it again.
I'll be pressing 1 in a bit, so I'm up.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes, I'm just trying to make sure that everyone can hear. I know yesterday we had a little audio technical difficulty with the line, and that was regarding the main line. So just want to make sure everyone can hear me. Again, press 1 so that I can open your line. I pray that everyone had a good week thus far, and there must be something to share to testify of the goodness of the Lord in your life. If you're new on this prayer line, you can press 1. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, brothers and sisters. This is sharing time. Please don't wait till the last minute to share, because we will not have time. The speaker, we want to start early. The speaker will be coming starting on time. So just giving everyone a chance to press 1 so that they can share. And if you're pressing 1 and it's not working, you can text me or you can let me know that it's not working and you would like me to open your line, because I know sometimes there's difficulty when someone presses 1. I'm not able to see it. So, again, please let me know that by texting me to let me know that you're trying to press 1 but it's not, the line is not opening. Amen. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Advent Light Ministry. Prayer line, please press 1 so that your line can be open. Amen, amen. If you'd like to share your testimony, prayer request, at least 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, you can be able to share. If not, we also are, the prayer line is open on Sunday from 7 to 9 and also Thursday 7 to 9. I'll go to the first caller. Thank you for joining us. 678-499, your line is now open. Good evening.
Yes, hello. Hello.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Hi. Good evening. My name is Brother Tobias, Justin Tobias, and I was invited to come on this evening, and this is my first time. I'm looking forward to being blessed as we approach God's Holy Sabbath Day. I want to give thanks for how he has led me this week. And my occupation is driving. I drive a truck. And the things that I witness on the road, the accidents and lives lost and stuff, is amazing. And I give him thanks for preserving myself and everyone who's on this prayer line tonight. And looking forward to be deeply blessed.
Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us, Brother Tobias. Praise the Lord. I know I have a friend as a truck driver also, and I know how, you know, tells up the story of truck overturning or things happening on the road. And we know the devil is upset. His time is short, and, you know, he wants to deceive. He wants to kill as many as he can and destroy lives. So be encouraged, and we will keep you in prayer, my brother. Thank you again.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'll go to the next caller again. Blessed Sabbath, Blessed Preparation Day. Depends on what time zone you're in. I will open the line now for 22. Okay, that line just dropped. Okay, 225-337. Your line is now open.
Oh, thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line because I thought I didn't press 1, so I pressed it again. So, brothers and sisters, this is Sister Leola. I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I just want to give God thanks also for his blessing for this week. And I'm telling you, it's just been such a blessing. We had a little storm pass through, but thank God it passed us, and we didn't have no damage. So we are grateful in Louisiana for that. But I like to share my scripture. I want to share something about we are the light of the you are the light of the world. But I'm gonna start with verse 13, and I'm gonna read till 16. And he say, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it's given light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Oh, praise God. Glory be to God. Today is the Sabbath, my brothers and sisters, and we are here on the prayer line to glorify him. So I just want to thank the Lord for that. So, Sister Carla, I'm in that because I know we have a time so everybody can share. So I just want to thank God for blessing us, for reading the scriptures, and also I'm asking for prayers for my family, for my brothers and sisters on the prayer line, for the young man. Just ask for prayers, and may God bless him and keep him, and also keep those that was on this prayer line in the past. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leo, for joining us, and thank you for sharing. We will continue to keep you and your family in prayer, and also let us keep each other in prayer, brothers and sisters. We know prayer is a weapon, and God has given prayer to us for us to talk to him, to commune with him, and to intercede on the behalf of others. Amen? So praise the Lord. Again, please press 1 if you would like to share your testimony or if you have a prayer request, brothers and sisters, it's sharing time. Please press 1. So at this time, I see no one has pressed 1. Again, press 1 if you would like to share, because at 8 o'clock or a little after, we will go into our prayer so that our brother will be able to, have enough time for the message and be able to start on time. So this is your time to share, brothers and sisters. Okay, amen. I see someone has pressed one, and I would like to share before I open this line. Amen. God is truly worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. I see how he moves in my life and how he answered prayer. And I am so thankful. I'm so grateful for the Lord and what he's doing and just being able to minister to my client. It's a blessing, and they being receptive to the message, to the word, and just in the way I treat them and also in my diet as I, you know, changing my diet, and I, you know, tell them about it, and they're really receptive, and it's just a blessing to be able to minister to others, and they see the fruit. Well, you see the fruit, and they see your lifestyle. They see you as a person, and they, you know, because people are looking at us, our dressing, our eating habits, our sleeping habits, just us as a person. We are a witness wherever you go. So, glory and honor to the Lord. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the next line. Again, brothers and sisters, go ahead and press 1 if you would like to share. And we just have, I believe it's Sister Brenda, 985-232. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for blessing us today on this Sabbath preparation. Thank God for watching over us and waking us up. It was a blessing when we woke up, so I gave him thanks. So I just want to read a prayer. I need my prayer. We had a storm here this week. It was rough, but we made it. It had my roof flying, but I didn't lose it all. I lost some shingles again, but it's all right. My son will fix it tomorrow. Okay. Dear God, I am aware that I may have certain thoughts and beliefs that are not wise for me to have. These thoughts may end up hurting me instead of helping me, and I don't desire that. Thank you, Lord, for the help through the Holy Spirit as I let go of the old days and used to think and I embrace your way of thinking. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a way of bringing me out, because this is a blessing. I wanted to get on here and read this prayer. I didn't even read it. I just picked it up, and it's all me. So I thank God. He just gave me everything I need to know, and some good words of encouragement, some good words to eat and remember. So I thank God for us. And we can come on this line and pray one for another and share one for another. So God be the glory, and I want to pray for our family at Bent Light and the sick, the homeless, and all the bleed and wherever they may be, and pray that they come back. So I'm going to give it to Brother John. Amen.
Yeah, I'd like to say hello to Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. Hope everyone's feeling blessed. And whatever time, whatever part of the world they're in, just want to say that God has our back, and just the powerful God, and so glad that he watches over us and take care of us. And his Bible shows us the way. And I just want to say that like the closer steps I make toward God, I make 2 steps toward him, he makes 3 steps toward me. And make about 4 steps toward him, like he make 5 steps toward me. And he just constantly, you know, blesses us as we embrace him in our life and change our lives for the better and keep our faith in him, that everything's going to be okay, and no matter what happens. Some life is up and down, but when the downs come, we stay strong and we believe that he'll make a way. And like I said, I'm just so glad that I turned to the spiritual ways and gave God a chance in my life. It made such a difference. It made it just unbelievable. And I'm still being just stunned and just still getting surprised every time, you know, by things in life and just enjoying it and just happy to be here, to be around and to share God's goodness. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John, for sharing, and also Sister Brenda for coming on and sharing. God is worthy to be praised, and all that he does for us, we have to give him praise and, you know, thank him for his goodness. So I'm just thanking you again for joining and for sharing. Okay, amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. When you press 1, it will indicate to me that you would like to share. So if you press 1 on your telephone keypad, that will indicate to me that you would like to share. Amen. And I'll just like to read Psalms 37, verse 7 through 9. Psalms 37, verse 7 through 9, it reads, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prosper in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked device to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And that's the earth made new again. We shall inherit the earth, brothers and sisters. So let us, wait upon the Lord patiently. And not just waiting and sitting, but doing the work that he have called us to be, being obedient, telling others about his soon coming and the preparation that needs to be made so that they can be ready also. Amen. We have a work to do. We are not to be stagnant and just here, not doing the work that Jesus has left us to do. We have to be about our Father's business because he is soon to come. And we all have talent. We all have treasures. And he doesn't want us to hide it. He wants us to show it as the light upon the hill. Amen? So I just thank the Lord for that reading. It was from Psalms chapter 37, verse 7 through 9. And I saw another hand that's up. Again, thank you for joining us. 518-482. Your line is now open.
Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. I'm going to open my line. Here I am this evening. I'm very happy to be here with you to unite my voice with you. I want to thank God especially for sparing our lives during the 6 working days of this week that is past and gone to eternity. And we are here this evening to give him praise and thanks in whatever form we do it, if we want to sing or give him praise. But I'm just reading this evening. I would like to thank God for his blessings over all of us that he can bring us in, keeping us safely during the week and bringing us here where we can come together to encourage each other. Now, we are preparing for the final crisis that is before us, right? And there we must not be mistaken. We must be careful not to raise false alarm, because if we hesitate and say peace and safety, we cannot say peace and safety. Do not get excited. We should not get excited. We should not be alarmed. There's a great deal more for us in our religious demands. We should not be calm and think things are getting better and things will get better soon, because I know that there will be no betterment coming to this world right now, because all that we are passing through now is things that we have to be prepared for We have to be prepared, because when I look around personally and I see what is going on, I just have to thank God for his mercies and his blessings on us. Even during this week, we had another death in the family. But, you know, these things do happen. And we thank God for his blessing that we are alive and we can see these things happening around us. And we can encourage others to be prepared, because we do not know when our time will come. We have to accomplish the work which God has given us to do. We are not ready for the issues which the enforcement of the Sunday law and all of these things will bring us. But, you know, I think it is our duty, to, as we see these signs approaching, that we should, you know, we should get ourselves ready and encourage others to do likewise. None of us should sit down calm and just expecting these things to happen. But we know what we have to do. We have to go out there and we have to tell people that Jesus coming is soon. And we should not be afraid nor be alarmed, but very calmly we should let them know that when you look around and see all these things that are happening around us, that Jesus coming is soon, even at the door. And so we have to pray and we have to work. So this evening, my encouragement to us is may God help us as his people to understand the seriousness of the time in which we live. And may he help us to see our spiritual, spiritual deficiencies, and cause us to seek with all our hearts an experience with God. Such, if we do that, that experience will fit us to pass through the trying days that lies ahead of us, the final hours and the final trials that await God's faithful people. So this evening, I just want to thank God for keeping us and for leading us and directing us. And as people of God, we know the, Jesus is soon to come, and great changes are soon to take place in our world. And this, the final movements, she told us that this would be what? Rapid ones. In the testimony for churches, it says the final changes will be rapid ones. And we are seeing that things are really getting up, because when you look at the world news and see what is going on, I'm telling you, we don't have no time to sit down and wait. We have to get up and tell others about Jesus. My prayer is that God will give me some direction to direct me to someone so that I can give a Bible study, you know, to tell them about Jesus coming, because his coming is very soon. And it is my heart's desire to do all that I can, even telling those of my other relatives. Even this afternoon I was telling them about my nephew, I was telling him today, this evening, I said, what are you doing? You should be taking your feet off of the Sabbath. You should be home now preparing for the Sabbath. You shouldn't be at work and trying to finish up your work. You should be at home. So you have to get your feet off the Sabbath and try to keep God's holy day. Because if you no matter how much you work, you wouldn't be blessed when you do these things. And I was speaking to him. And I talked to my brother, too. He was there trying to cook something because his family had gone out to some funeral. They left the country, and they have gone. I said, you should finish cooking. What are you doing? Said, you're cooking this hour in the evening. You know, I'm trying to encourage them not to take their feet off of God's Sabbath, because none of us should be trying to do things that we know that we should not be done. Because we have all week to prepare ourselves for God's Sabbath. At least I try my best, and I try to encourage those around me to do the same. So this evening, I just want to, I don't know if I should sing a song or what, but I like to sing. At least I could sing two verses.
Please sing the whole song, Sister Pontinelli. Sing the whole song. I was going to ask you if you have a, please sing the whole song. I was going to ask you if you have a special song. Thank you.
Oh, yes, yes. I love to sing. I love to sing. I didn't forget any special song. I'm going to sing Nearer Still Nearer. Yes. Yes, this is the Sabbath. We are in the Sabbath hours, and we need to sing songs that will bring cheer to us in the Christian life. And this song says, nearer, still nearer, close to our hearts. Draw us their Savior, precious Savior, the Lord. Okay? Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw us, dear Savior, so precious thou art. Fold us, oh, fold us, close to your heart. Shelter us safe in the heaven of rest. In that heaven of rest. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin with its follies, we gladly resign. All of its pleasures, Palestine, give me Jesus, our Lord crucified. Give us Jesus, our Lord crucified. Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, feel safe in glory, our anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be, nearer our Savior, still nearer to thee. Nearer our Savior, still nearer to thee. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we should draw nearer to Jesus each moment of the day, because time is so, it's not promised to anyone. We have to give Jesus our all, and day by day we have to depend on him, knowing that he is our guide, he is our maker, he is our provider, and he gives us everything we need. We have to trust him now, because if we do not trust him, we will surely fail. When the time of trouble comes, we wouldn't be able to stand. So this song is a song that is a prayer. We're asking Jesus to draw nearer to us, and we will draw nearer to Jesus. And, you know, ask Jesus to guide us as our shepherd, that he will lead us in paths of righteousness. Because as we see, as we look around and we see all of these things that is going on, sometimes you feel so, like as though the world is, I don't know how to put it, but I think the world is soon coming to an end. Because when I look around and see from the time, the days that I have lived on this earth, things have changed so immensely. And I don't think that we have too long here. Even the days are short, and we know that. And so I'm asking all of us to try to, you know, ask God to lead us to someone. And I am praying for that too, that I'm able to show someone to Jesus, because that is my heart's desire this evening. And I hope that all of us with us to lead someone to Jesus. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line, and happy Sabbath to one and all.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for sharing and for the song. I see that your heart is heavy and burdened for soul, and we all should be, my dear sister. And I just thank the Lord. And as you said, my eyes are opening up more and more because, you know, we hear about them talking about the food shortage. And I was like, I know it's coming, but it's reality because as I drive, I live in the country, as I drive home, and there's farmland around here, and I usually see them planting a lot of the, you know, the darker brothers or lighter brown brothers from, you know, Mexico and different countries. They'll be out there planting or on the bus going home, but I don't see their presence, and I don't see anything in the ground. And I'm like, you know, Lord, wow, Lord, I know they're not taking a seven-year rest from, you know, planting in the ground. Lord, this is just sooner. This is just at the door that, you know, we're going to have food shortage. And if we're not putting stuff in the ground, if we're not in the country, may the Lord help us. So we have a preparation to do, brothers and sisters, in the heart, in our mind, in our body, in our spirit. We have a work to do before it's too late. And today is the day. If you hear the voice of the Lord, hearken not your heart. Just be prepared. Get your house in order and take it to the Lord in prayer. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Please press 1 again. Please press 1. I don't want to overlook anyone. If you would like to share a quick testimony, scripture reading, or if you have a prayer request, you can press 1 and I will open your line so you can share. If this is your first time on this call, we'd just like to welcome you this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line, and we're glad that you decide to join us. Amen. And I believe you will be richly blessed this evening as we're bringing in the Sabbath together, praising God and honoring Him. And we know in heaven we should be doing the same thing. And this is a preparation for our new home. Amen. So if there's no one else, I don't see anyone else that has pressed 1 again. If no one else would like to share, we're going to go into our prayer. We're going to prayer. And to our prayer so that we can get started. I'll open Brother Justin's line in a few minutes. He's first time speaking on this prayer line, and I've heard him before, a really powerful speaker, and I'm just blessed that God allowed him to join us this evening to present the message. God is truly good, and he always have, you know, his disciples, his children, you know, ready to help, ready to present the word. And, you know, sometimes we don't ask, you know. So I'm just glad that the Holy Spirit led me to ask, and we will be blessed, no doubt. Amen. So again, I will ask Sister Consonelli. I will ask you if you are able to give us a word of prayer. I will open your line to see if you are able to pray for us, my dear sister. Amen.
Before I pray, I just want to read a little from this preparation for the final crisis. Emergency flight from the city, and I think we're dealing with that just now. It says, when the Sunday law is passed and strictly enforced, it will be a time for the faithful to leave the large cities. This will have to be done quickly after the close of probation, while the plagues are being poured out and when the death decree is promulgated. The children of God will flee from the small cities, the villages, and the populated areas. It is no time now for God's people to be fixing their affection on laying up their treasure in the world. The time is not far distant when, like the early disciples, we shall be forced to seek a refuge in the desolate and solitary places. As the siege of Jerusalem by the Roman armies was the signal for flight to the Judean Christians, so the assumption of power on the part of our nation, that is the United States, in the decree enforcing the papal Sabbath will be a warning to us. It will then be time to leave the large cities preparatory to leaving the smaller ones for retired homes in secluded places among the mountains, right? So we have to prepare to leave the city, and we have to do it now. It says, as the decree issued by the various rulers of the Christendom against commandment keepers shall withdraw the protection of the government and abandon them to those who desire their destruction. The people of God will flee from the cities and villages and associate together in companies dwelling in the most desolate and solitary places. Many find refuge in the stronghold of the mountains, but many of all nations and all classes, high and low, rich and poor, black and white, will be cast into the most unjust and cruel bondage. The beloved of God passed away weary days, bound to chains, but in prison, and sentenced to be slain. Some apparently left to die or of starvation in dark and lonesome dungeons. No human ear is open to hear their moans. No human hand is ready to lend them help. Though enemies may thrust them into prison, yet dungeon walls cannot cut off the communication between their souls and Christ. One who sees their every weakness, who is acquainted with every trial, and above all, earthly powers and angels will come to them in lonely cells, bringing light and peace from God. I saw that the saints leaving the cities and villages and associating together in companies and living in the most solitary places, angels provided them food and water while the wicked were suffering from hunger and thirst. So, my dear brothers and sisters, that is the time that is coming upon us, and we have to ask God for his protection, for his leading and his direction in our lives, that we could know when to get out of the city. And because we don't have very long, the time is now. The time is now. I'm going to pray now. Father, we come to you at this Sabbath evening hour. We thank you for these sacred hours which thou hast caused to come down to this earth again. Hours where we should be studying your word, thinking upon you and what you have been doing for us. Time when we should be studying your word and trying to fix your word into our minds, Lord, so that when the time of trouble comes, when all our resources are gone, we will have your word hidden in our hearts, Lord, that we will not be able to sin against you, and that we will not get weary and tired, but we will have something in our brains to give and to encourage others to keep holding on to you. Father, this evening we come before you as a group, and we pray, Lord, that you will bless each one that comes on this line time after time. Help us to realize that these hours that we are spending here would not always be available to us, and the time is drawing near. Help us to realize that it is a privilege to come together and to speak about your goodness and your love towards us, and to encourage others to do likewise, Father. On this Sabbath evening, Father, we bring before you those of our loved ones who do not know you, and there are many on this line, Lord, or maybe listening secretly, but we pray, Lord, that this evening that they may decide to give their hearts to you, knowing that they do not have long in this world. They don't have long to make a decision. The time is now, and they have to make a decision right now, because Time is not promised to anyone. Life is not promised to anyone. Every minute you could hear people are dying. People are just leaving us, just going away from this world. Suddenly they are gone. You hear they are here, and they are not here anymore. Father, I pray that you will help us to realize the time in which we are living in, and that we will make our calling and election sure, while probation still lingers. And we will try and encourage many to like to do likewise, even those of our near relatives, Father. We pray that you will bless them and you will help them, that you will continue to give them the help that they need, and that they're able to make decisions that will make, that will help them into your kingdom, Father. We pray that you will bless the leaders of this group, Father, Sister Powell and Sister, whoever it is. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to give them the strength and the know-how, that as they try to keep this line going, Lord, that you will bless each one that come on this line, that those who used to come and are not coming anymore, Father, you know who they are, you know where they are, and I pray that you will continue not to leave them to themselves, but continue to speak to their hearts so that they could come back and join themselves and learn more of you and to be more prepared to meet you when you shall come. Bless us, Father, and bless us, those who are in leadership on this line. Be with Brother Yuli and his family. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to give them the strength and the impetus and whatever they need to lead wherever they are leading. And as they are leading souls to your kingdom, Father, we pray that you will continue to bless their family. Bless all those who are coming on the line this evening and those who will give your word. We pray, Lord, that we all will be blessed as a matter of coming here this evening. Keep us, Lord, and keep us and help us to remember to keep the Sabbath day holy, so at its end we all will have a blessing. Thank you, dear Father, for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli. Yes, the leader of this group is Jesus, and we're merely his servant. We're following him. We're his disciple. We are children of the Most High. Amen. And ambassadors, representative of God. So I will say another short prayer before I open the lines for Brother Justin. Amen. God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praised. Kind and loving Father, as we linger a little longer, we just thank you for who you are, Lord. You are the great I am. You are a Savior. You are a King, Lord of Lords. There's no one like you, Lord, and we just praise you for your goodness, your mercy, your love. We praise you because you are truly worthy to be praised. As in your word, Matthew 11:28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, help us, Lord, because we're carrying this heavy burden, this heavy load of sin, and you told us to give it to you, Lord. Please forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, our iniquity. Lord, we repent right now of our sins. Help us, O Father, as we all come in together, Lord. I ask that you will bless Brother Justin Tobias in a mark way, Lord. You know everything about him. You know what he's going through at this time as a driver on the highways and the byways, Lord. There's so much going on the roads and all around us in the neighborhoods, Father. We ask that you will be with him and his family. Protect him and guide him and keep him, O Lord. Be with Sister Leola and her family, Lord. You know her desire to serve you. You know her needs at this time. We ask that you will supply it, Lord. And also, Brother John and Sister Brenda, we thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for health and strength that you have given them in order to go out daily, O Father, to tell others of your good news and if you're soon coming. Thank you for Sister Consonelli and her love for you and for others and want to see others in the kingdom, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Answer her prayer. Bless her husband. And also this unspoken prayer request is, Lord, we lift them up before you right now. We ask that you will be with each and every one of us. You know our hearts, oh, Father. You know our desire to serve you. You know what's keeping us back, Lord. I ask that you will help us, oh, Father, to just turn away from the evil doing, oh, Father. Turn away from whatever is leading us away from you, oh, Father, and run to you at this time. Lord, I thank you also for the speaker. I ask that you will bless him in a marked way, Lord. Fill him right now with your Holy Spirit, oh, Lord. Speak through him the word that he's bringing at this time. Bless his family, oh, Lord, in a marked way. Supply their needs, Lord. Put a hedge of protection around them, Father. And we thank you. We just praise you, oh, Father, for each and every one. Sister Katie, Lord, we ask for healing for Sister Katie. We ask that you, who are the great physician, will touch her right now and bring healing into her body, oh, Father. Her mind, oh, Lord, please, Lord, take away whatever is grieving her heart, Lord, and draw her closer to you, Lord. We thank you again. We praise you. We glorify and we magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So now I will open Brother Justin line. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Your line is now open.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Carla. Good evening, everyone. And happy Sabbath to those who are on the East Coast. If anyone else is still experiencing a sunset, I wish you a happy preparation day as well. I want to thank Sister Carla for giving me the invitation. It's a blessing and privilege to present the Word of God to you this evening. And it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will be present as he teaches us tonight. I know we just heard two prayers, but as always, I like to pray very shortly before we go into the Word of God. So let us bow our heads briefly. Father God in heaven, you've heard the previous two prayers, Lord. I just want to echo my voice with my dear sisters that we ask for your Holy Spirit to be present with us tonight. Prepare our hearts, our minds, dear God, to receive your word. Lord, hide me in Jesus. Give me utterance as I deliver the word to your people. In Jesus' holy name we do pray. Amen. All right. So for tonight's message, this is a topic that has been on my mind for the past couple of weeks. Many of you already know the parable of the talents, and I heard earlier in our testimony session that was mentioned in one of the testimonies or praise reports. And you know what I find interesting is, you know, some of the most simple readings you find in the Gospels, of course, the parables of Jesus. But if you know Christ, nothing that Jesus says is just simple. It is extremely profound, and there are deep gems found in these simple parables that I believe the Lord wants us to spend time digging them up, and you'll find rich blessings for us to help us understand not only God's will for our lives, but especially his will for our lives in these last days. So if you will, if you have your Bibles with you, if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll be starting from verses 14 and ending in verse 30. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14 to verse 30. And I will read in your hearing. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he had also gained another 2. But he that had received the 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he had. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so, like I said, this is a very familiar parable. But I believe that this, if there was any a time where this parable was most applicable, it would be the times we're living in now. I believe God has given each one of us special gifts and talents that he is calling us to use in the times we live in. And so the title of this message tonight is called "Only What's Done for Christ Will Last." Only what's done for Christ will last. And you'll see as we go through this message personally what God will have us each to do in these last days. So I have some questions that I want us to go through and consider as we go through this chapter. So question number one, very basic, very, very simple. What is a talent? I think that's the first question we need to figure out. What exactly is a talent? And simply put, back in the time of Jesus, talent in the Jewish economy was the equivalent to more than 18 years of pay. I'm going to repeat that again. A talent was the equivalent to more than 18 years of pay. Now, to give you some perspective, the average tradesman, and this would be the type of individual who'd be paid back in Jesus' time. So you can think of your blacksmiths, your carpenters, your daily laborers, maybe farmers. And so in today's time, if you think about tradesmen, their yearly wage is around $48,000. To be exact, $48,635. That's the average wage in our country. Now imagine 18 years plus of that same wage. So to put that in perspective, 18 years would be the equivalent of $875,430. That's just one talent. Over $800,000 is one talent in this story. Now, if you multiply that by 2, then you get $1,750,860. And if you multiply that by 5, you get $4,370,150. The point I'm trying to make here is that a talent is something that is extremely valuable. That is the first thing that we need to notice in this story. What the master gives his servants is not something that is to play with. It is not something to take lightly. This was a huge responsibility. This is a huge portion of the master's wealth that he's entrusting to his servants. And so spiritually speaking, each talent and spiritual gift that God has given to each one of us are the goods of the Lord. They're extremely valuable. You see, the way we value things on this planet is very skewed, very twisted. We have a very bad understanding of what value really is. You know, oftentimes, you know, what we consider important, God considers irrelevant. What we consider irrelevant, God looks at it with extreme importance. And so we need to understand, how does heaven view value? And in this story, God is trying to show us the very talents and gifts that he has given you. Maybe you're a singer. Maybe you are a healer. Maybe you're a writer, a seamstress, a baker, a cook, a mechanic, whatever it may be. God sees those goods that he has entrusted to you as something extremely valuable that he's expecting you to take care of while he is away. Now, moving on. The next question we need to ask is, why are we given these talents in the first place? And I'm going to go ahead and reread verse 14 through 15. And again, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey." So already we can see that there is no apparent instructions that the master gives his servants. There's nothing that explicitly says that here's this money, here's these talents, and here's what I need you to do with it. The master doesn't give that instruction. But let me show you something as to why these servants already knew what to do. If I give you $100, if I give any of you $100, what would be your first question? Naturally, your first response is, thank you. What is this for? What is the purpose of this money that you're giving to me? You see, the point I'm making is the fact that the master gave them these talents already implied that there was something that they were supposed to do with it. You see, if the master wanted to keep his wealth safe and secured, or if he wanted to keep it safe from being robbed or something like that, he would have put it somewhere, maybe in the bank, or he would have hid it somewhere. But the fact that he gave it to his servant was automatically implying that they needed to do something with it. So same thing spiritually. Many of us may say, "Oh, well, I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talent. You know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm just here." Friends, that is a lie. That is not the truth whatsoever. God instilled in you talents and gifts when you were born. Now, whether or not you recognize those things now, that's a conversation that you need to have with God. But God has given every last one of us gifts and talents to be used to his honor and glory and to the expansion of his kingdom. And so none of us here should be questioning, I don't really have any special gifts or talents. Not so. The master has given everyone his goods according to their several abilities. So that's something that we need to keep in mind. Number one, no one should say they have no gifts or talents. God has given everyone something, even if it's one talent. Number two, the mere fact that you have it automatically implies that you have to do something with it. Some of us know we have talents, but we say, I don't think God is calling me to that. Again, that's not true. If you have it, you need to do something with it. If God didn't want you to do something with it, he would have kept it for himself or given it to someone else. So we have to get out this mindset that we don't have gifts, that's not something that the Bible agrees with. God has given each one of us something that we can use, something unique to us that no one else can utilize or use the way God has given it to us. So please keep that in mind as we move forward. Now, question number 3, what is the reward for rightly using these talents? And obviously we can see in verses 19 through 23, you see the first 2 servants, the one with 5 talents and the one with 2 talents, they went and did something. They went and multiplied it. All right, the 5 who had 5, he went and got 5 others. The one who had 2, he went and got 2 others. And as the master returned, he rewarded them. He saw their loyalty, their commitment, their diligence, and he said, great, now you can be ruler over many other things. And that's something that we need to consider. There's nothing in verse 14 and 15 that states that these servants did anything prior there's nothing here that states that they did anything prior to receive these opportunities, if you understand what I'm saying. So in other words, the master gave them the opportunity to test them. It's very much like us. We have these gifts. We did nothing to receive them. This is just from the grace and love of God. So therefore, God is testing us here. What are you going to do with your talents? How many people have you reached with that talent? Are you just sitting on that talent? We already know the prophetic nature of this parable. The master returning is Jesus Christ coming back. And he's going to ask each and every one of us, what did you do with the talents I gave you? How many souls did you reach with the talents I gave you? And God is so good. I love how God rewards his servants. And I remember growing up hearing this story, I'd often think, the reward doesn't really match the deed that they did. All right, so they multiplied the talents the master gave them, and then the reward is to be rulers over his goods. That to me, that always sounded like a jump. But let's turn really quickly to Revelation chapter 3, verses 21. And many of you already know and are familiar with this verse. And this is just to show that Jesus is serious about his rewards. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 states, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." This is something that I don't know if I'll ever fully comprehend, that Jesus is telling you and I that he is willing to share the rulership of the universe with me, with you. That is so mind-boggling to me, that Jesus would say, you know what, Justin, I'm going to move over, and you can sit with me in my throne, and you can rule with me for the rest of eternity. I don't understand that type of love. I don't understand that type of grace. But the Bible clearly states that if we're faithful with the goods that God has given us in this lifetime, he will make us literal rulers over the universe with him in eternity. I always used to wonder, why is God giving us crowns? What for? Why do the angels not have crowns? I understand now. He's trying to make you a prince. He's trying to make you a princess, a king, a queen. You are royalty in the eyes of God. But before he can share the throne of the universe with us, he has to prove us now in this life. He has to prove us before the holy angels and the other created holy beings to show that Justin or Miss Carla or whoever else, that they will not bring sin back into heaven. They have to see our faithfulness now. They have to see our commitment now. And so as we see in this parable, the master is testing their loyalties, testing their character and what they will do with the good that he has given them. So it is as God is testing us. The good that sometimes we look down upon and we think no one is going to benefit from them. Don't do that. God has given it to you for a reason. He's trying to test you and prepare you for things that we can't even fathom. So I encourage you tonight to utilize those talents that God has given you, because he has great rewards for us when he returns. Now, moving on to the next question, and here is where we're really going to spend the majority of our time tonight really diving into, because I believe it's extremely important for us to understand in the times we live in. So the question is, why is the third servant wicked? Why is the third servant wicked? And we see this interaction taking place in verses 24 through 25. Number one, this servant starts blaming his master for what he chose not to do. Now, I don't know about any of you. Anytime someone does you wrong or offends you in some way, and you try to lovingly confront them and have a conversation to address the issue, and if their first response is blaming you for their actions, or blaming someone else for their actions, you already know there's a much deeper issue at hand. this servant had the audacity to blame his generous master for the reason why he did not do what he should have done. So he actually says and calls him a hard, a rigid, a unfair taskmaster, you know, asking and, or reaping where he had not sown. Now, here's what's mind-blowing to me. If we go back to verse 15, the Bible says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Several ability. So that tells me that despite this servant's false accusation to the master, if we read verse 15, this master actually took his time. He took his time to make sure each servant could handle the talent he gave them. He calculated so much so that you could even say that he wanted them to succeed at the task that he gave them. He didn't give the 1, 2, or the servant with 2, 10, or the one with 5, 3. He gave according to their several ability. So it's the same with Christ. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. The talents that God has given you are not too much or not too little. Before you and I were even born, he knew exactly the gifts that would be best suited for each and every one of us. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, the gifts and the talents that God has given us, and as he is calling us in these last days to utilize it, to expand his kingdom and to reach souls, are we telling him, Lord, that's too much? Lord, that is too hard. You're asking for too much. Are we calling God a liar? Is God not perfect? Is he not eternal? Is he not all wise? Did he not know you before you were even in the womb? Did he not calculate the gifts and talents that he has given to you to make sure that you are successful? How many of us complain and murmur before God that the task or the calling that he's placed on our life is too much, is too hard? We have to be careful, friends. We may be in danger of being a wicked servant. The second point with this is that this servant was slothful. The word slothful simply means lazy. He didn't even make an attempt to double his talent. Now, I can speak from experience, unfortunately, that sometimes I am too lazy to do what God is asking me to do. Sometimes I am too comfortable maybe doing nothing or doing what I want, not realizing the urgency of the times we're living in, and that there are souls, precious souls, waiting to hear this precious truth that we have to give them. I have to admit, sometimes I'm just lazy. I'm in danger of being a wicked servant. Are we in danger of being a wicked servant? This is not time to play games. This is not time to sleep. Every single day, every moment of the day, our question to God is, Lord, what should I do for you? How can I utilize my gifts and talents for you? Not a moment, not an hour, not a day should pass by without utilizing the things that God has put in your power to use to benefit someone. Not a moment should pass by. There are no breaks. We get to rest and sleep when we get to heaven. Right now, it's time to work. Right now, it is war. I want to read this quotation found in, well, two of them actually, found in Christ Object Lesson 363, paragraph 2. We should not talk of our own weaknesses and inability. This is a manifest distrust of God, a denial of his word. When we murmur because of our burdens or refuse the responsibilities he calls upon us to bear, we are virtually saying that he is a hard master, that he requires what he has not given us power to do. The spirit of the slothful servant, we are often fain to call humility. But true humility is widely different. To be clothed with humility does not mean that we are to be dwarfs in intellect, deficient in aspiration, and cowardly in our lives, shunning burdens lest we fail to carry them successfully. Real humility fulfills God's purposes by depending on his strength. I'm going to read that last part one more time. To be clothed with humility does not mean that we are to be dwarfs in intellect, deficient in aspiration, and cowardly in our lives, shunning burdens lest we fail to carry them successfully. Real humility fulfills God's purposes by depending upon his strength. The reason why this speaks so much to me personally, because I cannot tell you, brothers and sisters, how many times my response to God's calling on my life and the talents that he's entrusted to me was, Lord, I'm too weak. Lord, I'm not educated enough. Lord, I'm too young. Lord, I lack experience. Lord, I don't have the help. I don't have the money, the resources. I don't have the time. When someone says, hey, brother, you have a gift of speaking, and my response is, well, I don't know about that. I don't think the Lord has called me. That is actually expressing doubt and unbelief in God. Now, what Sister White is not encouraging is for us to be prideful or boastful. But many of us, thinking that we're being humble, go in the opposite extreme. When we refuse to accept the calling on our lives because, oh, no, you know, I don't have the education. Oh, no, no, that work is for someone else. I'm not qualified. That's not humility, friends. That's just called doubt. That's just called not trusting in God's ability to give you the power, to give you the enabling power to do what he's called you to do. And I wanted to really highlight and let that marinate in our minds tonight. Because, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that none of us here tonight are not doing anything for the Lord. Don't get me wrong. But I need you to ask yourself the question, if you indeed are doing something for the Lord, who says you only have one talent? Who says you can't do more? This is it, friend. I love what my dear sisters said earlier in our prayer requests and the things in the testimony section. I love what everyone was saying. We are in the last days. This is it. This is all hands on deck. There's no time to be withholding anything from the Lord. We have to daily come to the Lord humbly, say, Lord, what more can I do? How else can I serve you? Who else can I reach? We should not be satisfied or content with what or the little that we're doing now. Keep in mind, Christ poured out his very life for you and I. We have to ask God humbly, Lord, what more can I do? And do not allow the devil to put these seeds of false humility in your mind, saying, oh, no, I'm not qualified for that. I can't do that one. Don't do that. Say, Lord, if it be your will that I have to travel to preach this gospel, if it's your will that I have to start that ministry, if I have to start a prayer line, if I have to become Sabbath school teacher, if I have to become an elder, if I have to start this class, if I have to leave this job, whatever it is, if it be your will, I know you'll give me the power and ability to do so. It doesn't even matter what I lack, because in my weakness, you are made strong. That should be our response. Now, moving on to the last point here. This servant was willful in his actions. So first, he blamed his master. Second, he proved himself to be slothful and lazy, not even trying. But third, which to me is the most alarming, this servant was willful in his dealings with his master. At the bare minimum, he could have given the money to the exchangers, and or in our terminology, the bank, so at least it would gain some interest. But he didn't even do this, showing that he never intended to do anything with the talent in the first place. Now, this is incredible, because unlike the third servant, the other two servants went out and they made an attempt and they tried to multiply their master's wealth. This third servant says, you know what? I don't even want to make that attempt. Okay, that's bad, but fine. At least put it in the bank where if you don't want to work for the money, let the money work for you. I'll at least allow it to gain interest. And here's what's interesting. If you look at verse 26, you see the master says, it says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchange, and then at my coming I should have received my own in usury. So basically with the master's not even addressing the fact that this servant is falsely accusing him of being unfair. He bypasses that. He doesn't even address it. He uses his own words against him. He said, okay, fine. You think I'm a hard taskmaster. You think I'm unfair, all right? If you really believe that, would it have made sense to at least put the money to the exchanges so you would have something to show for it? So this servant actually indicted himself with his own words. If you are so fearful of your master, if you're so concerned that he'll be disappointed and that he'd be mean and unfair, at least bring something to him. But he doesn't do that. He just buries it in the earth. And so the question for us is, if God has been calling you to do a specific work for maybe months, maybe years, and you've been pushing it aside because of career, your job, relationships, maybe it's your house, your car, whatever it may be, whatever excuse we make, maybe it's because we don't see the financial benefits of serving God. Maybe we don't see what's in it for us. Are we willfully telling God, no, Lord, I've given up already to church. I do enough already for you. I'm not doing that. What's in it for me? That's too much. I'm sacrificing too much. Are we willfully telling God to his face, no, I'm not going to do that? If this is the case, friends, we're in danger of being a wicked servant. I'm going to share these next quotes here with you, found in Christ Object Lesson 365, paragraph 3. Many who profess to be Christians neglect the claims of God, and yet they do not feel that in this there is any wrong. They know that the blasphemer, the murderer, the adulterer deserves punishment, but as for them, they enjoy the services of religion. They love to hear the gospel preached. Therefore, they think themselves Christians. Though they have spent their lives in caring for themselves, they will be as much surprised as was the unfaithful servant in the parable to hear the sentence, take the talent from him. Like the Jews, they make the mistake of their blessings for the, they make the mistake, the enjoyment of their blessings for the use that they should make of them. Many who excuse themselves from Christian effort plead their inability for the work. But did God make them so incapable? No, never. This inability has been produced by their own inactivity and perpetuated by the deliberate choice. Already in their own character, they are realizing the result of the sentence. Take the talent from him. The continual misuse of their talents will effectually quench from them the Holy Spirit, which is the only light. The sentence, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, sets heaven's seal to the choice which themselves have made for eternity. Brothers and sisters, when I read that for the first time, this is not my first time presenting this message. And I have to be honest. When I studied this and I read that paragraph, that last one I read to you, that was that was a heavy rebuke for me. That was a serious rebuke for me. She says that many of us refuse to do the work and use the gifts and talents that God has entrusted to us because we claim that we have an ability for the work. She actually said the reason why we're enabled, the reason why we don't have the ability is our fault. God didn't make us so incapable. It's because we refuse to use what God has given us is the reason why we have no ability. I mean, that was one of the clearest rebukes I've ever read for me personally. And so what I'm trying to bring to your attention tonight, and again, I don't know anyone on this prayer line. I don't know your lives. I don't know the struggles you have. I'm not here to condemn or judge. I'm simply pleading with you to please analyze your lives, analyze the talents that God has given you. If you are already using one or some, praise God. Make sure you're using all of them. We don't get brownie points just for using a few. God expects all of them. He gave you all of them, did he not? He expects a return on every talent he has given to us. And if you are someone who have been making excuses and not have made an effort as of yet to try, my brother, my sister, I encourage you in love, repent, ask God for forgiveness, and start using what he has given you to you. Each one of us has a work on this planet to do. I want you to consider that there are almost 8 billion people on this planet. We know from Matthew 24 that this gospel must be preached into all the world as a witness, then the end will come. There's roughly about over 20 or 24 million Adventists on this planet. Compare that to almost 8 billion people, that is very, very extremely small. And as many of you know on this prayer line, the majority of our church and our denomination are not engaging in this final work. So now look at the numbers really in terms of those who are trying to prepare or at least aware of the times we live in and that prophecy is fulfilling around us. The point I'm making is that God needs you. He needs you to do your part. The devil is going to tell you and I, God has enough preachers. God has enough teachers. God has enough medical missionaries. God has enough prayer lines. He has enough Zoom meetings. He has enough canvassers. That is a lie. Christ himself said that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. That was in Christ's time. I'm pretty sure it's much worse now. Do not allow the devil to tell you that you don't have a place, that you don't have a role in these last days, a very important one. Why in the world would God raise you up and bring you into existence for such a time as this? To sit on the sidelines? Definitely not. Definitely not. I don't know your life. For the Holy Spirit of God knows each and every one of you and what he has placed in you. If you have been dragging your feet on whatever calling that God has been placing on your heart, I encourage you to repent of your excuses and allow the Holy Spirit to empower you and enable you to do the special work that God has given you to do. There are precious souls waiting, friends, to benefit from the gifts and talents that God has entrusted to you. There are precious souls waiting to be brought into this message, and they're not going to be brought in without you utilizing your talents. And so to close with this message, I don't want to hold you guys too long. I want to share my personal testimony, because the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because this is quite literally my life. I was a wicked servant. I held back the talents and the gifts that God has given me for a number of years. About 2 years ago, the Lord called me to full-time ministry. And I'm not going to go through all the details of specifically that process, but around, I believe, the end of 2019, the Lord called me to leave my corporate job and to enter the ministry. I didn't really know exactly what God had in mind for me, but I figured I'd start on YouTube and just start making YouTube videos. I did that for about a year, and around the beginning of 2021, the Lord really changed my direction. I started getting opportunities in my local church to preach, and it was interesting because I never asked to preach. My pastor just put me on the schedule without me knowing. So every time I tell that story, I smile because I know the Lord knows his child. He knows if I had known, I would have said no. But I was on the schedule without, you know, without my knowledge. I was put on the schedule, and I had an opportunity to preach. And from that point on, you know, my church allowed me to present the word at least once or twice a quarter. I had no plans of preaching. That was not in my idea of what I was going to do in ministry. I didn't think I was going to be a preacher. God clearly showed me that he gave me the gift of speaking and that I needed to use it. That was a big change in my life because God was clearly taking me down a path that I at first didn't want to, but I didn't think I was qualified. He started having me teach Sabbath school. I became a Sabbath school teacher. So, you know, during this time, I'm really recognizing and trying to understand, you know, God's calling in my life, and I'm seeing him do all these things and give me these gifts. But something very unique happened around this time last year. So around, I'd say April, May of last year, the Lord brought to my attention the importance of medical missionary work, as well as the role that outpost ministries would play in these last days. I mean, it was like God was downloading in my mind all this information. I mean, I was watching, you know, Moses Mason, Marcus Mason, Jeremiah Davis, Elder Bridges from Living Manna Ministries. I mean, all these YouTube videos, I was watching back to back. I mean, as God was leading me to these truths. I never heard this before. And then he took me through the testimonies and showed me the idea, the blueprint in which God had for schools such as Madison and Avondale and Loma Linda back when they were actually doing things according to the blueprint. And he led me to books such as The Broken Blueprint and Living Fountains and Broken Cisterns and all these different historical books from our pioneers. And it was as though the Holy Spirit was just downloading all this knowledge in my mind. And don't get me wrong, I was thrilled. I was excited because I felt like God had revealed to me this whole new level of truth and this truth found in our rich history as Adventists, and I had no clue of this. And finally, he brought me to the understanding of the role of outpost centers and sanitariums in these last days, the medical missionary work. He says that, Ellen White says that this will be the last work that will be done before the end comes. And so as I'm learning about Madison and I'm learning about these outpost centers that God designed to be like the school of the prophets of old and how each major city needs to have, you know, several of them in throughout the United States and throughout the world. Naturally, for me, I thought, well, this is great, Lord. Thanks for the information. I guess we can utilize our little country home here and make it into an outpost ministry and then maybe kind of set up a little home sanitarium. And, you know, I spoke to my wife about what I was learning, and she thought it was a great idea. And so I was like, all right, great. This is what the Lord would have us. But there's one thing the Lord has been teaching me. Never assume. Never assume God's will for you. You always have to ask him. You always should ask, Lord, what is your will for me? You see, I thought that it needed to be just our home, just our family doing this work. Until one Sabbath morning, I remember it, I'll never forget this. One Sabbath morning, usually I wake up early in the morning around 6 o'clock. I go outside in my yard, and I just talk with God in nature. That's where I try to commune with the Lord, as did Jesus. Oftentimes, not oftentimes, but every day, Christ communed with his Father in the mountain. And so I try to mimic that in my own relationship with the Lord. And I often go outside early in the morning before sunrise just to talk with God. But this morning was different. God woke me up around 4:30 in the morning. And at that time, that was the earliest I've ever gotten up. And so, I mean, wide awake. I'm up. And I'm like, why am I up? What is going on? And immediately the Holy Spirit said, you need to go outside. I need to talk to you. I said, okay, let me get up and get dressed. I go outside, and it's as though I already knew what the Lord wanted to talk to me about, and it was an outpost center. And so the Lord starts impressing my mind, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing, but he starts impressing me, you know, Justin, I need an outpost center in Georgia. And again, naturally, I'm like, Lord, with all due respect, you know, I don't think I can do that. And we start to have this conversation, and he's showing me, and he's pressing on my heart, Justin, I need an outpost center in Georgia. And I respond and say, Lord, there's Wildwood. There's other ministries here. Why do you need another one? So then he starts leading me to different quotations in the testimonies. He starts leading me to passages from the writings of Ellen White. Every question I would ask him, he would just lead me to a different quote. I'd ask him, how will I do this? He'll lead me to a quote. I'd ask him this question. He'll lead me to another one. And I kid you not, brothers and sisters, I was out there from 4:30 in the morning to sunrise. It was over 2 hours I was out there talking with God, wrestling with the Lord, trying to understand why is he calling me to do something to that, you know, in my mind at the time was, with all due respect, ridiculous. I don't have the money. I don't have the means. I don't have the education, the qualifications, the background, the experience. And on top of all that, I'm young. Not realizing that I was sounding like a wicked servant. But praise God, by the end of that conversation, I smile every time I think about it, because by the time we finished, I was exhausted because God had literally answered every single question and concern I could present to him. And at the end of it, after all the excuses that I gave him, it did not change his mind. He said, Justin, I need you to start an outpost center in Georgia. And finally, I humbled myself. I said, Lord, I'm trembling at this task. But if you said it has to be done, then thy will be done. I walked inside. I sat down with my wife, and I told her, I said, babe, I think the Lord wants us to start an outpost center. And, you know, she's just like, oh, yeah, okay. I was like, no, wife. The big one, the actual big one, not the personal one. And she believed me, and she accepted it. We prayed on it. And right away, the coming weeks, we started looking for property. I'm not going to take you through the whole experience. That was a year ago. But I will tell you this. As of this past Monday, we are now under contract for a property in Somerville, Georgia, for Fairhaven Outpost Ministries. That was a year ago that God gave me that vision, if you will. I was scared, I trembled at the task, and I gave him every excuse in the book. Brothers and sisters, it did not change his mind. His word will not return unto him void. He means what he says. And if he has called you to do something, he means it. It's not a mistake. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. And with all of that, despite all of that, he still is calling you. As of Monday this week, we are under contract to purchase a property to start this outpost center. I don't know how it happened, but we are here. It is nothing but the grace of God that this is happening. no effort on my – the only effort that I've given is simple obedience. I stopped asking questions. I stopped making excuses. And I said, Lord, your will be done. Just give me the strength and power to do it, and it's done. It's yours. Our family is putting our treasure on the line. We are putting our money where our mouth is to get this ministry up and going. Our 401k accounts are emptied for the sake of this ministry so it can get started. This is real life for us. We recognize that our treasures and our talents belong to God. They belong to Jesus. Jesus has done so much for us, and we love him so much. We owe him our very lives. And so I share that testimony with you, brothers and sisters, to encourage you. Whatever it is the Lord is calling you to, he already has the ability and power to enable you to be successful in that calling. I don't care what it is. I don't care if the Lord has told you you need to pass out 1 million copies of The Great Controversy. If he said to do it, it will be done. You can do it. It doesn't matter what he's called you to. Understand the times we're living in are serious, and God's problem is not money. His problem is not resources. His problem is getting enough consecrated workers who would simply trust him so that he can finish the work through us. And so I'll simply close with this quote as encouragement to each one of us tonight. It's found again in Christ's Object Lessons, 326, paragraph 3 and 4. Christ's followers have been redeemed for service. Our Lord teaches that the true object of life is ministry. Christ himself was a worker, and to all his followers he gives the law of service, service to God and to their fellow men. Here Christ has presented to the world a higher conception of life than they have ever known. By living to minister for others, man is brought into connection with Christ. The law of service becomes the connecting link which binds us to God and to our fellow men. To his servants, Christ commits his goods, something to be put to use for him. He gives to every man his work. Each has his place in the eternal plan of heaven. Each is to work in cooperation with Christ for the salvation of souls. Not more surely is the place prepared for us in the heavenly mansion than is the special place designated on earth where we are to work for God. And so, friends, I want to encourage you, don't be a slothful and wicked servant. Whatever God has placed on your heart to do, some of you already know what that is. The Lord is already working in your heart and bringing it back to your memory. Get busy. Ask God for the wisdom. Ask him for the strength. Ask him for the resources. And give him your all. Be obedient, and your reward will be in heaven. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for this stirring message. We thank you for the wake-up call, dear God, that we are your servants, and we are to render our gifts and talents that you've entrusted to us for your service, your glory, and the expansion of this of your kingdom, dear God. Lord, as so many people have mentioned tonight, we are in the last days, dear God. I mean, just the 2 years alone has made it very clear that Christ may even return in this very decade, dear God. That's how close we believe it is. It is not time to play around. It is not time to be slothful. Dear God, show us our talents. If there are any here tonight who are not sure, it's okay. You can show them. You can reveal it to them. Help us to utilize what you have given us to use in gifts and talents for your honor and glory so that we can get this work finished and we can go home. Lord, I ask for unity amongst this group, Lord, tonight, that we will work together, that we will encourage one another to use our talents, that we will combine our talents and gifts for this work, dear God. Lord, I pray over Sister Carla and the leaders of this ministry as they continue to do a mighty work to spread this truth and to encourage the brethren. Father, help us to unite and get this done, dear Lord. Time is surely running out. But, Lord, we know that it will be accomplished, all because of you and your Holy Spirit. We ask for a special blessing as we continue to enjoy the precious holy hours of the Sabbath. We ask all these things in Jesus' holy name we do pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Justin. Is there an email address or a website that you can give the listeners to reach out to you?
Yes. If anyone wants to reach out or email us, you can contact us by emailing fairhavenoutpostministries@gmail.com. That is fairhavenoutpostministry@gmail.com. You can also look us up on Facebook, where we post updates on the property and what we're doing as a ministry as well. And, that'll be the best way you can reach out and contact us.
Amen. Thank you again. That was powerful. We hope to have you back on again. And I thank the Lord for using you tonight. And you were truly led by the Holy Spirit to bring this message. My heart was touched, and I pray that my brothers and sisters' heart was touched and blessed, and we will start the work that God has given us to do if we haven't, as the Lord says. The Lord is watching everyone to see whether we will use his talents wisely. Oh, may the Lord truly help us. In 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of man and of angel and have not charity, love, I am become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. May the Lord truly help us, and may each and every one of my brothers and sisters be blessed. And please share the, hope you took down the reading and share it with others. And this is recorded, and it will be on Blog Talk Radio under Advent Light Ministry. So I pray that everyone will have a good night. Jesus loves you. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Thank you.